we're holding on set at Gimel Amud Beis, 8 wines from the bottom. We started learning yesterday about the concept that, which we've already discussed before, in the 7th perek, that a gazlan or a ganav can be koine, whatever it is that he stole, with when the shinri teit. Back in the 7th perek, we talked about this concept. We were also talking about it in connection with yush. Here we're focusing at the beginning of our perek about in general the shinri itself. What kind of shinri is necessary in order for him to be koine? We talked about there's a shinri d'oraisa, meaning something around a d'oraisa level already it's considered to have been changed. That would be a shinri she'ena chozo l'briyosa, an irrevocable change. You're never going to be able to get it back to the way it was originally. Versus you have a shinri d'rabbanan, which is something where there is a change to it. It would be possible to reverse that change. Nevertheless, the chachamim, as we're going to discuss later in the Gemara, mipnei takonas hashavin, to make it easier for people to do tshuva, then the chachamim said that even in such cases, certain kinds of shinuyim are considered a shinui, and therefore the ganav acquires it, and he only has to pay back the value of it rather than the object itself. So the last thing we talked about was that according to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda had said in the name of Reb Shimon that even dyeing wool is not necessarily considered a shinui cha'inichoz or the briyase, because the Gemara had established most kinds of dyes can actually be removed using sapon, which is the same word basically as the word soap in English. So it means some kind of strong soap or detergent where even after the wool has been dyed, you can still undye it by applying this sapon, this detergent, to it. So he considers it not to be a shinui that would make a difference in terms of the kinyan of the object. So now the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Ubeis Shammai, V'Rab Elazar ben Yaakov, V'Rab Shimon ben Elazar, V'Rab Yishmael, Kulu Svira Lahu, all these Tanoim hold Shinui b'Mekayma Omed, that even after there's a Shinui to something, it still remains as it is. Meaning, in other words, so right now, so actually the business about Sapon, actually that was Rava had said that in the previous piece. Abaya had said that Reb Shimon ben Yehuda would understand Reb Shimon to be saying that a Shinui, that certain kinds of shinuyim at least are not considered a shinui, even though whether they're chozul b'riyasa or whether they're not, and nevertheless we would still say that it's still considered the original thing. He doesn't make the distinction between different kinds of dyes, so he would say, for example, that when the wool was dyed, regardless, it's not considered a shinui and it still belongs to the original owner, not to the ganav. So now Rabbaya is saying, in keeping with that, that we have a whole bunch of Tanoim who say similar things. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, and we have a general rule, as we've learned before, that such a thing is called a shita. And we have the rule, ein halacha kashita, when you have a list of Tanoim like that who all hold the same way, it means the halacha is not like them. Even among themselves, they don't necessarily all agree on each other's dinim. Tosfos points out over here, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, in the previous piece, had said that dyeing wool is not enough to be considered a shinui, but he agrees that, for example, spinning it or weaving it or whatever is enough to be considered a shinui. So even he does hold that certain kinds of shinuyim are considered a shinui. So it's not that he holds that no shinui is a shinui as far as the ganav of acquiring it. He only says a certain kind. But we see, in other words, that he holds, similar to the other tanoim, that there are cases where shinui, where something that normally we would consider to be a shinui, it does not work for that purpose, and therefore that justifies Abaya putting him in this list. So many times like that, Tosfos points out, where the Gemara will bring a whole shita like that, a whole line of Amiro, a whole line of tanoim, who say a certain way, they don't actually necessarily agree with each other, but they both hold the same underlying idea, and from it they derive different dinim. So Reb Shimon ben Yehuda hadamar, and Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, we said, he holds that even after the shinui to the wool, it still belongs to the original owner. Specifically, actually, the din he had said in connection with was actually in connection with Reishis Ageiz, that even after the wool has died, it still would have to be given to the Kohen as part of the Reishis Ageiz. Unlike the Chachamim would say that once it's died, then it's not considered part of that wool anymore. Next. Bes Shammai Maihi, where do we see Bes Shammai holds of such a thing? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, we've learned this earlier in the Masechta. Now we know the Torah tells us that you can't bring Esnan Zoyna as a korban, something that was used as payment for a Zoyna for her services. So Braisa says, Nosan lochitin ve'esnana. What if he gave her wood? What if he gave her wheat as her esnan? Vasa'on, vasa'on, or vasa'atan, really, it's supposed to be. And then, and she made it into flour. Zaysim vasa'on shemen. Or he gave her olives and she turned them into oil. Anovim vasa'on yayin. Or he gave her grapes and she turned them into wine. So is, can that flour or oil or wine be used for korbanos? Toni chad osur, but toni idach mutter. One braisa says it's osur to use them as korbanos, and the other one says it's mutter. So why are the two braisas disagreeing? V'omer Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, toni guryan de me'aspurak. Guryan from aspurak is the name of a place. He said that the two braises reflect two different opinions of Tanoim, Bishamai Osirin or Bishil Maturin, where Bishamai says it's also to use these for korbanos, and Bishil says it would be mutter. So my time into Bishamai. Now, why does Bishamai say that it is, why does Bishamai say that it's osir? Because they say omakro gam shnehem, because the pasuk says that when it mentions this concept, it says, you can't bring esnan zona, also not mechir kelev, which means the something that was used in exchange for a dog. So say, for example, I have a sheep, you have a dog, and we trade one for the other, then that sheep becomes also to be used for a korban. And the pasuk says gam shnehem, also both of them. So Bishamai learns from that. L'rabas shinu yehem, that comes to include also any altered forms of them. So not only the original wheat, but also the altered form where it was turned into flour. So we see, in other words, that Bishamai is saying that even though there was a major change to it, nevertheless, it's not enough to change the status of it in halacha, and therefore the Gemara is understanding that the same thing is true as far as a ganav, that the same thing, the fact that it changed does not mean that now the ganav owns it. He doesn't own it, and therefore he would have to return the actual item itself. You have different achronim talk about the exact parameters in that. I mean, of course, a shinui to something doesn't generally take away the issue of it. We don't say, for example, if you have, let's say, a nevela, and then we make a shinui to it, that then it doesn't become nevela anymore. So the Chazon Ish talks about the idea. In other words, you have to consider, after all, wheat and grapes and whatnot can't be used as a korban as they are. They have to be transformed. And nevertheless, so therefore, Bishamai would take the view that it's still considered that the original issue was on the flour that was going to be made from this wheat. And therefore, we see that even though it's a shinui, she'ena chozer l'briyasei, nevertheless, it still was osur and remains osur. And Bishil is going to disagree. And then you have different... a different point that's made the difference is that when it comes to Rav David Pavarsky points out that when you have like this, when you have the Isser, you have something is also in its etzem metzius. Nevela, for example, intrinsically is also. Here it's not so much esnan zona is not also intrinsically. It was used for a wrong purpose, therefore you can't bring it as a korban. So therefore we can be talking about whether a change here is enough to take away the Isser, and Beis Shammai holds that not, and therefore by analogy, they would say that a change is not enough for the gazlan to be koinet. Then there's a point from the Sefer Yireim Arishon who says that the vort would be, we're talking about, let's say he gave her the wheat before the beer with the intention she's going to be koinet only at the time of the beer. And now what happens if he turns into flour before that? So then you have the question, is that considered the actual esnan or not? And Acharonim discussed that in detail. Anyway, the point is that Bishamai is saying that the change to it does not change the status of it in terms of that still esnan. Or Bishilol answers to that. Well, how can you say it includes the altered forms? Omakro heim v'lo shinu yehem. The pasuk says gam shnehem. So the hem of shnehem means them themselves. So only them themselves are also not the shinuyim of it. So the question is Bishamai hoksib heim. So how does Bishamai understand that hem? And the answer is how humi boy lehem v'lo vladisehem. Bishamai says that means that only they are also not their vladis. So a person were to give a cow to a zoyna for her esnan, and afterwards that cow has a baby, then that baby wouldn't be also as a korban. That we would learn from the hem of shnehem, says Bishamai, but not that if it itself was actually altered, that for example wheat turned into flour, that it shouldn't be also. Bishamai says no. Ubis Hillel, what does Ubis Hillel answer to that? They say Taute Shamas Mina. The fact is, they say that you could learn, you could, well, so actually, So Vesilol Tauti Shamas Mino. So Vesilol says that's true, that it, the Vlodis are not included. From that very word hem, you can learn both things, that a Shinui is Mutter, and also that the you can learn Hem Velo Shinuyim, Hem Velo Vlodisayim. Both the Shinuyim and the Vlodis remain Mutter, because that's what the Pasuk is saying, only them themselves, not if they were altered into something else, and not if they were, and not if they had babies. Well, the question is, now, Bishamai had learned from the word gam shnehem that it means also their shinuyim. What is Bishilol doing with the word gam? And the Gemara says, you're right, gam Bishilol kasha. You're right, according to Bishilol, the word gam would be a kasha. Why, according to Bishilol, does it say the word gam in the pasuk? It's true, it's hard to find a good explanation, according to Bishilol, of why it says in the word, of why it says the word gam. Okay, as usual, you know, kasha is not a tiyuvta, so it means we haven't schlugged up Bishilol, but they would have something to explain. Why indeed it says gam in the pasuk. Anyway, the point is, we see that Bishamai holds, similar to Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, that a change in something does not change the status of it in terms of him or her being koyin. Next, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Maihi. Where do we see Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says such a concept? Who was also in Abaya's list. So to Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Hareshu gozal saw shochitin. Imagine a person stole a saw of wheat, tochna, then he ground it up, losha, and he kneaded it to make dough, va'afa, and he baked it, v'hifrish mimena chala, and he separated chala from it. Now, strictly speaking, Tosfos points out he should have separated challah from it beforehand. Once he mixes the dough, once he kneads the dough, he's already chayiv in challah. So Tosfos points out the point is, even though the Elazar ben Yaakov wants to tell you, even though he did so many shinuyim to it, nevertheless, it's still considered the original object. Or Tosfos points out sometimes, so here and also elsewhere, Tosfos points out sometimes, in fact, there are cases where yutaka only become chayiv and challah when you baked it. Namely, for example, you made like a batter, you made more like a battery type of dough as a soft dough like you would make for cakes or cookies or whatever, and then you decided to bake it, then it becomes chayiv and challah only when you bake it, because otherwise the assumption would have been that you're going to make it into something like pancakes or something, which are potter from challah. Anyway, the point is, so here he did all those things, v'hifrish mimena challah, and he took challah from it, keitzad mevorech. How can he make a bracha on it? Ein zeh mevorech ela menoitz. This is not blessing Hashem. This is blaspheming and insulting Hashem by making a bracha on that. Val zeh nema, on this the pasuk says, Boitzea beirech mietz Hashem. The boitzea, which Rashi explains, is a word that means a thief. Beirech, when he makes a bracha, mietz Hashem, he's blaspheming and insulting Hashem. So we see, in other words, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov holds, even though the wheat has gone through all of these changes, including that now it's gone from wheat all the way to bread, major, major changes, nevertheless, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov considers that it's still the same object that he stole, and therefore that they shouldn't make a bracha on it. What kind of bracha are we talking about? So one way of understanding is, in fact, that we're talking about one possibility is we're talking about the bracha of taking challah, the bracha lahafush challah. First of all, Marsha points out the context, that pasuk of Vitzei Berach, Nietz Hashem, the continuation of the psukim over there is talking about a thief, because actually the earlier psukim, Begavas Rosha Yidlak Oni, in Capital Yod of Tilim, the Rosha is so proud of himself and so certain of himself, he goes and chases after the poor and steals from them, and then continues Beitzeh Berach Nietz Hashem. So we understand that we're talking about a Gazlan over here. But anyway, the point is, Marsha also explains the word Beitzea over here can also be understood as to separate, not besides what Rashi is saying, that it means a thief, it can also mean to separate. So it means when he's separating challah, he shouldn't make the bracha on, he shouldn't make the bracha, lahafish challah, because how can he make a bracha on such a thing? Now, with that said, though, a number of Rishonim and Achronim explain that we're actually talking about the bracha, hamotzi, on it. Marsha mentions that point. The Rambam holds that way, that you can't make hamotzi on such food. On the other hand, the Raiva disagrees with that and says, you have an expression that the Gemara says in some places, Misha ochal shum v'reichin nodif, yachsav yachal shum v'yehe reichin nodif. If a person has eaten garlic and his breath smells bad, do we tell him eat more garlic so your breath should smell worse? In other words, just because the person did an Aveira and stole, should we tell him on top of that, do another Aveira and eat without a bracha? So you have a machlokas rishonim on that point. Is it that he can't make a birkas on mitzvahs on it? Well, but he could make a birkas on nanan on it. For example, hamotzi, the Raivad holds that way. The Rambam says that no, he shouldn't make hamotzi on it either. So the Alter Rebbe brings these different opinions and says la'inyan halacha, it'll really depend whether we ate it b'shoigig or b'mezid. And then there's really the distinction about also, now here we're saying that even though it was transformed from wheat into flour and then into dough and then into bread, then the same din would apply. That actually would be different. Since we're saying ein halacha kashita, the fact is, the halacha is that a shinui is koinet for the gazlan. So therefore, again, when it came to a birkas on mitzvahs, he wouldn't make a bracha on it because it is a mitzvah, abah b'aveira. But on the other hand, birkas on nanin, he would say. So if he had actually stolen wheat or whatever, then the actual final halacha would be maybe that he should make a bracha on it. Actually, the Alter Rebbe ends up saying suffik brachas lahakol. But if he stole the bread itself, then it'll depend. Then it'll depend whether it was b'shoigig or b'mezid. Because after all, then there was no shinui, and then he'd owe them the actual bread himself. So therefore, that would be, as the Gemara is saying over here, in zomavarech el menards. So the bottom line is there's a number of different dinim that are relevant in this connection, and it'll depend on the exact circumstances. Anyway, the point is, though, that we're saying, Rabbaya is saying, you see that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that even though there was a shinui to it, he still wasn't koineh. Next, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Maihi, where do we see Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said such a concept? Netanya, Kwalza Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar set a general rule, Kol Shvach Sheish Biach Gazlan, any improvement to the stolen item that the Gazlan made, Yodoy Al HaYona, then afterwards, when he's coming to return the thing, he has the upper hand. If he wants to get from the original owner an amount equal to the shvach, then he can do that. So say, for example, he stole an animal that was worth $100. He fattened it up and whatever, and now it's worth $120. So he would be entitled, when he's returning the animal, to say to the nigzel, look, now you have an animal back that's worth $120. I put money into it, therefore reimburse me the $20. So he could do that. And if he wants, he can say, meaning take it as it is. But the Gemara says, before we understand what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is saying, we have to figure out, my ka'omar, before we figure out how this is relevant to the dinim of shinui, to Gzela, we have to figure out first, what does he mean? Harei shalacha fanecha is an expression that you use when the thing has deteriorated. As we'll have examples throughout our parak, where you're saying, okay, it went bad, it deteriorated, it got ruined or whatever, not my problem, harei shalach lefanecha. You don't say that when it improved, as in the case here, where it went up in value. So what does Rav Shimon Elazar mean with harei shalach lefanecha? Rav Sheish has hachaka, so Rav Sheish says, Rav Shimon Elazar means like this, hishbicha noitel shvachai, if the gazlan improved the gzela, then he gets his shvach, he gets reimbursed, Kochash, and if it weakened, if it went down in value, then still he can tell the owner, you take it as is. And there we see that he holds that shinui b'mekayma omed, even though there was a shinui to it, never, and the Gemara is assuming at this point that the kochash is an irrevocable change, nevertheless, it still doesn't belong to him. It still belongs to the original owner, and therefore he can't say, therefore he has the ability to say, harei shalach lefanecha, same as any other case of gzela, where the thing itself still exists. Well, the Gemara asks, Yehochi afilu yishbiach nami. Well, then the same logic should apply even if he was mashbiach it. Why in that case are we saying that he collects the shvach, implying that he returns the original animal? Amri. So they said, in fact, you're right. Minatoda, he wouldn't acquire it because, again, the whole thing belongs to the original owner. Here, the gazlan himself is not acquiring it with the shinui. Mipnei takonas hashovim, but the Chachamim said that he shouldn't have to, that he should be able to get back the shvach in order to make it easier for him to do tshuva, as we're going to discuss more about that point on Omer Beis. So therefore, So in that case, when there's shvach, then we allow him to collect it so that in order to make it easier for him to do tshuva. But fundamentally, the animal as it is belongs to the original owner, and therefore we see that he holds that shinui b'mekomei omid, that even though there was a shinui, it still retains its original status. There is a machlokas within that, a machlokas rishonim. What about if the shvach came on its own? What about if the animal itself fattened up or otherwise increased in value? Would takonas hashavim apply to that as well? The Ravid holds no. The Rashba holds yes. Next. Rabbi Shmuel. Where does Rabbi Shmuel say such a thing? Of shinui b'mekomei omid. He was the last one on a buyer's list. Maihi, where do we see that he said that? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, mitzvahs peah lahafush min akama. The fundamental mitzvah of peah is to separate it while the grain is still standing, before you've harvested it. You leave aside a corner, an edge of your field for the poor people, and you don't harvest it at all. Loi hifush min akama. What if the person did not designate peah while it was still standing? Mafush min ha'omrim, then he should separate from the bundles of grain after it was harvested. Loi hifush min ha'omrim, mafush min ha'kri. And if he still didn't do it from the bundles of grain, then he should do it from the pile of grain. Ad shalai merchai. That would apply until he does meruach, because up till that point, it's not yet chayev in ma'aseh. Merchai, once he did meruach, ma'aser v'noisim loy, he would first have to take ma'aser, and only then give it to the poor people, because at this point already it became chayev and ma'aser, so therefore we don't want the poor person to lose out, therefore he has to take ma'aser from it first. Now, why are we not mentioning truma? Tosfos says, the fact is, truma is a very easy thing. Midaraisa, after all, you only need one grain of wheat as truma. So therefore, the braisa is not mentioning the braisa mishnah, actually, whatever, is not mentioning this concept. Because it's so easy to take off truma. On the other hand, the Rashba says, look, a lot of times we use the word ma'aser and it includes truma as well. Obviously, you'd have to take truma because you have actually in this week's parasha, you have a mitzvah, maleyacha v'dimacha loy sa'acher, which means you're not allowed to give trumas and ma'asers out of order. You're supposed to give truma first, then ma'aser rishon, and then ma'aser sheni, and so on. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so thus far, there hasn't been much of a shinu to it. But Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omru Af Mafresh Mina Isa Venoisim Loi, they said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that you even if he hadn't given payah all that time, he already ground up the wheat and made flour, and he already made the flour into dough. Rabbi Shmuel would say he still has to give payah if he hasn't all that time. Whereas the Tanakama would say once he got to that point already, then it's a shinui. It's mamon she'en lo tovim. You can't say any poor person who comes and says you should give it to me, he can say, well, look, it's not specifically yours. It belongs to any oni, and I could choose to give it to a different oni. So therefore, the Tanakama would say, now, at that point, he's potter from peah. He's done an aveira. He was over on the mitzvah of not leaving peah. But nevertheless, he doesn't have to give it to them. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel would say that he still does. So we see Rabbi Shmuel holds that even though there was an irrevocable shinui, nevertheless, he still can't keep it. He has to give it to the poor people. So there we have the list of tanoim who hold of that concept. By the way, Rashi points out, according to the Tanakhama, we wouldn't say the threshing of it is considered a shinui, because after all, you have before the threshing, you had the wheat kernels there. Now you also have the wheat kernels. The only difference is before they were inside their shells, and now they're not, but that's not enough of a shinui for the Tanakhama to consider that a shinui. Once he ground it and made it into flour, that would be, and then kneaded it, that the Tanakhama would consider a shinui. And Rabbi Shmuel again is saying, doesn't matter whether it was a shinui or not, either way, it still belongs to the poor people. However, Amalei Rapapa Abaya, so the Papa asked Abaya, so what are you telling me? You have Beis Shammai and four other Tanoim who hold that Shinui B'Mekoy Me'oymed. Now, of course, when you have a Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the Halacha is going to be like Beis Hillel. So the question is, Ichbal Kolhani Tanoi Lashminin Kabis Shammai, have all of these Tanoim gathered together and worked hard and then each one given their opinion only to tell us that they hold like this Shammai? Don't they know that halacha is like this Hillel? What's the point? Amalei, so Rabbi says, Hachika Amri, all of these Tanoim are saying, Loi Nechaku Beshama Beshilo, but Dabazer, they're saying Beshama Beshilo never argued about this point. Many times we have in the Gemara, we'll have a Machlokas Beshama Beshilo, but then there'll be a certain Manda Omar, there'll be a certain Tana who says that actually no, Beshama and Beshilo never argued on this. They both agreed the halacha such and such. So these four Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and so forth, they all hold that Beshama and Beshilo both agree in the case of Esnan that a shinui does not in fact change it, and in fact that the wheat that was ground up into flour, etc., would be also to bring as korbanos, unlike what we said before that Guri and Damas Sporak had said that Beshama would say it's also and Beshilo says it's mutter. These other four Tanoim that Abaya had listed, says Abaya, they would disagree and say that no, Beshama and Beshilo hold the same on it, that it is in fact also. However, Omar Rava, Mimai, but Rava says, how do you know that in fact you can say that all these Tanoim in fact hold like Beshama? In fact, maybe not. Dilma ad kam like Amar Reb Shimon Yehuda Hasim Elabet Seva. You know when Reb Shimon Yehuda is saying, as far as the wool that was dyed, and saying that nevertheless it still has the chiyuv of Reishis HaGeiz on it, as we learned yesterday. You could say he says only when it comes to dyeing, however Yochel Avira Aydet Sapun, because most kinds of dyes can be removed by applying sapun, by applying the soap or detergent or whatever to it, which takes away the which removes the dye. And therefore brings the wool back to the state it was before. Even Reb Shimon Yehuda, though, is not necessarily holding when it comes to an irrevocable change. We had yesterday, for example, we had the Rava had pointed out, you have Kola Ilan, you have one particular dye that they had at that time that was known to be very color fast, and even Sapun wouldn't remove it. So therefore, Reb Shimon Yehuda would agree that that kind of change is in fact koine. And as Tosfos had pointed out, even Reb Shimon Yehuda holds there were other kinds of shinuyim, such as spinning it or weaving it or whatever, that are also considered a shinui sheni chozer. So therefore, Rava says not necessarily is it that Reb Shimon Yehuda holds that there's some kind of shinui she'ini chozer, which is not koina. He would hold every kind of shinui she'ini chozer is koina, but he would point out that most kinds of dyes are a shinui ha'chozer. So therefore, you can't have him in your list, says Rava. You know when Bishama is saying in the case of Esnan that even though it was altered, you can't use it. Fine, because that's Elo LaGavoya, only when it's used as a korban for Hashem, Mishum de Imis, because it became disgusting, the fact that it was used as Esnan Zona, is enough of a reason to answer it even after it was changed. They wouldn't necessarily say in other areas of halacha that a change doesn't make a difference in a change doesn't make a difference in the status. And Rabbi Lozman Yaakov is only talking about in terms of the bracha. Because you have the problem of mitzvah abah ba'aveira, as we said before, that the fact is you're making a birkas a mitzvah, so according to somebody showing him a birkas a nanin on something which came to you through an isur, through an aveira, and therefore that would be a special reason over there to not allow it, but that doesn't necessarily show that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold of that concept in other areas of halacha. And in fact, as we said before, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as far as this, subject to that machlokas who showed him of the exact parameters of when we say it's a mitzvah ba ba'aveira and when not. Reb Shimon Elazar's case, where he's talking about where the animal deteriorated in value, and the gazlan has the right to say harei shalach lefanecha. Maybe he's only talking about a deterioration that will go back to the way it was. So it's not a shinui she'ini chozer. It's a shinui achozer. Temporarily, the animal is weaker and then skinnier. Eventually, it's going to fatten up and go back to being strong and healthy again. So then, that's a shinui she'ini chozer. Even the chachamim would agree that that's not necessarily kona for the gazlan, except maybe because of a special takonas hashavim. But that doesn't show that he holds that shinui she'ini chozer is not considered a shinui. And the last one, Va'ad Kan, like Amar Rabbi Shmuel Hasam, Elul Inyan Peya. You know when Rabbi Shmuel is saying that he's still chayav when it comes to Peya, even after he made it into dough, is specifically by Peya, Mishum Dichtiv, Tazav Yisera. Because by Peya, the Pasuk says, an extra time, the word Tazav, you should leave it, So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel learns from that that it means you always have a responsibility to leave it even after the fact, even though you already harvested it and ground it and kneaded it and so forth. And the Gemara says, "B'chitema ligma minei." Now you're going to think, okay, well, let's learn a binyan av from that. Once the Torah says tazo by peah, and it means that even though you made it into bread, you still have to give peah from it. Maybe you learn from that a binyan av to the rest of the Torah. No, you wouldn't do that. Matnas aniyim shiny, because the matnas aniyim, such as peah, are different. As we know, kideboy Rab Yonason, as Rab Yonason, in fact, asked the question, the Deboy Rabbi Yonason, my time of the Rabbi Shmuel, why indeed does Rabbi Shmuel say that you'd have to leave payah, that you'd have to give payah out of the dough? Mishum de kasava shinu ena kona, is it in fact like Abaya said, because he always holds that shinu is not kona, meaning in other words, he would say in the case of a ganav that he does not acquire the actual object and he always has to return it be'ain to the owner. Is it that? Oduma ba'alma kasava shinui koina, or is it that in general Rabbi Shmuel holds that a shinui is koina? The hocha mishum dechtiv tazev yisera, and here only because it says specially tazev would we say it's different. And he continues. So we could say, in other words, we see that the Rabbi Yonason is not sure on what basis Rabbi Shmuel is saying his did. Well, very well then, we could say that he's saying it only because. Taka does hold shinui ena kona, but maybe it's only because you have specially, it says over here, tazo, and therefore the Torah would be implying that there's something special about matnas aniyim that does not apply to other mitzvahs. And he continues, v'im timtza loymar, if you're going to say Taimed Rabbi Shmuel Mishum de Kasava Shinui Ena Koina, if you're going to say the first possibility, that in fact Rabbi Shmuel holds in general Shinui is not Koina, then you'd have to ask Tazav Yisera de Kasav Rahman Olamali, then why does the Torah write the extra Tazavs? The true, and further, we would have to ask Lurabonon Taz of Yisera the Kasav Rahman Olamali, and according to the Chachamim, who they don't hold of this concept at all, they hold, as we said, that once you get past the stage of once you get to the stage of grinding the flour, then already it's a shinui she'ene chozer, and therefore you're potter from giving peah at that point. At that point, you've been over on the mitzvah of giving peah, but at this point, there's no recourse. You don't have to give peah anymore. So what are they doing with the word tazov? And according to Rabbi Shmuel, if we say that he's saying that in general, shinui she'ene chozer is not considered a shinui, then what is he doing with the word tazov? And the answer is mibola l'chidatanya. Rabbi Shmuel would use that to teach us a din that it says in the following braisa. If a person declared his vineyard hefker, v'hishkim laboker, and then he woke up first thing in the morning and he took it back from hefker ubatzrei and he harvested it, you have a machloikas rishonim within that. Does it mean that he was only zoicha back in the karka, or also if he was zoicha only in the peiris, is the following din are going to apply? And you have also machlokas, whether, what about if somebody else was zoicha in it, would he be chayev in the various matnas anim? Anyway, the point is, the braisa is saying that if he himself takes it back, chayev peret, he's still chayev in peret, which is when you're harvesting grapes and one or two grapes fall down and you have to leave them for the poor people, uba olalos, and he's going to be chayev in olalos, which are the undeveloped small clusters of grapes that don't have the normal shape of a cluster, where he has to leave those for the poor people as well, over shikha, and shikha if he forgets any grapes behind, over peya, as well as peya. Because all of those, Rashi points out, even though all of those usually are potter from hefker, but each one of them, the Torah says an extra word, tazov, which tells you, therefore, that you're chayev in them, even if they were hefker at one point, as long as they're not hefker now when you're harvesting them. So again, if Rabbi Shmuel holds that in general, shinui sheine chozer is not considered a shinui, then he would use the word tazov to teach us this din. The Chachamim, who hold anyway that shinui achozer lebriyasa is a shinui, they would also use tazov to learn this din. Only if Rabbi Shmuel is saying that we're learning specifically from the word tazov, then we would say that fine, each time it says tazov, then we're saying that you have to leave it even after you turned it into dough, or even after you made it hefker, or whatever. But Anyway, so that's what we learned from the word tazov and opoter, opoter. And ma'aser, however, it is potter from ma'aser because it was hefker at one point. And by ma'aser, it doesn't say by ma'aser rishon and ma'aser sheni and truma for that matter. It doesn't say tazov. So therefore, once it was hefker at one point, then it remains potter. So that's what we learned from the word tazov. So again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we might say that according to him, from one of those tazovs, we also learn that when it comes to payah, you also have to give it even after it was turned into dough. And the other possibility is that he and the Chachamim would all say that, no, we don't say that. We would say in the case of Rabbi Shmuel would say that shinui achoz l'briyasei is never considered a shinui. The Chachamim would say that it is. And as far as the tazovs, they'd use it all for this din about what happens if you made it hefker and then took it back from hefker. Okay, so the bottom line is that Rava is saying, to Abaya, every one of these five Tanoim that you brought, where you're saying, they're saying Shinui Achoz L'Briyasei is not considered a Shinui, out of all of them, four of them, we have no particular reason to say that they would say that din across the board, only Rabbi Shmuel maybe would say that. Now, one of the five Tanoim that we mentioned before was Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and we had the case where he said, where if the animal went up in value, then again we said that he can say to the Nigzo, you have to reimburse me for that increase in value. And then you have subject to the Machlokas Rishonim, what happens if it increased in value on its own, but whatever. And then we also had that if the animal deteriorated in value, then he can say Harei Shalach Lefanach. That he can say, you take it as it is, I'm not chayav to reimburse you for that change in value because it was considered, because Rav Shimon Elazar had said, so according to Abaye, it was because Rav Shimon Elazar had said that you never say that a shinui makes a difference. According to Rava, the vote was usually a shinui makes a difference, but here we're talking about it's something reversible. Right now, the animal has been weakened, but it can be strengthened up again. So the Gemara says, "Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha could have Shimon Elazar. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar, that there's cases where he's able to say Harei Shalach Lefanecha. But the Gemara says, "Umi Amar Shmuel Achi, did Shmuel in fact say such a thing? Well, Amar Shmuel, we learned all the way back in the first perek of our Masechta that Shmuel had said, "Ein Shaman Loila Ganav Loila Gazlan Elon Zakin." In the first parak, we had the case where my shur kills your shur, and he said the nevela essentially belongs to you, the owner of the shur to begin with. So therefore, so now we calculate how much is the shur, how much is the dead shur worth versus how much was it worth when you were alive, and I have to reimburse based on that amount. And then we said pchas nevela l'nizek, if it goes down in value, then we said we figure that toward the nizek. However, Shmuel had said, we don't make that calculation when it comes to a ganav or a gazlan. So say in a similar example, a ganav had stolen an animal worth 100 and then it died. We wouldn't say that, look, the nevela now is worth 20. So you take the nevela and then I'll pay you back another 80. No, we say you have to pay a full 100 and you yourself can do whatever you want with the nevela. So Shmuel is saying that. You don't make that kind of evaluation by nezakin, implying that you don't say Harei Shalach Lefanecha. So Bishlema Lurava Dra Amaki Kamar of Shimon Elazar Hasam Bat Khosha Dahadar. So according to Rava, who we just said holds that Rav Shimon Elazar is talking about a changeable hakhosha, that he says right now the animal is weaker, but eventually it's going to become stronger again. So then like Tasha. So then there'd be no contradiction within what Shmuel is saying. He would be saying the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar, that the change is not considered a change such that the ganav would acquire the thing. That would apply by chosha dehoder. He would be saying when we're talking about a weakening that is going to go back. In other words, where right now the animal is weaker, but eventually it's going to strengthen again. So then he'd have the right to say Harei Shalach Lefanecha. And then when he says v'chika amar Shmuel hasam ein shaman le the ganav le the gazlan ela nezakin, when he says that you don't make such evaluations as far as a ganav or a gazlan, that would be about chosha deloy hoder. That would be talking about an unchangeable hakchosha. So say the animal, for example, lost an arm or a leg or something, then he couldn't say Harei Shalach Lefanecha. Then we would say, no, you stole from me a complete animal. You have to return me a complete animal. So therefore, and I don't want an animal with a mum, and then you're going to reimburse me for the difference. No, you keep that animal with the mum, and you give me back, and you give me back the money for a perfectly healthy animal. So fine. So according to Rava, it's easy to understand, and there's no contradiction within what Shmuel is saying. Ella la Abaya, but according to Abaya, Dharma Kikamar of Shimon ben Elazar, but Kosher de Loihadakamar, but according to Abaya, who said that Shimon Elazar is talking about even an unchangeable hakosha, because he said, you learn from this that Rav Shimon Elazar holds that a shinui is never koine, and a shinui meaning even a shinui achozo lebriyasa. So according to Abaya's way of understanding Rav Shimon Elazar, how are you going to reconcile Shmuel's two statements, where he's saying the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar, but he also says that you don't do this evaluation for a ganav or a gazlan. And the answer is Abaya masni hachi. Abaya would actually learn Shmuel's statement as follows. Omr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Abaya would learn that Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the name of Shmuel, Omru halacha k'Rav Shimon Elazar. They said the Chachmei HaYeshiva had said that there are people who say the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar, implying the Leilei Svir Alei, implying that Shmuel himself does not agree with that. So therefore, Abaya would say Shmuel does in fact disagree with Rav Shimon Elazar. He holds the halacha is like the Chachamim, and therefore we can say that you never say Harei Shalacha Fanecha. You would always say that he has to reimburse him to get back to the original value, and therefore, and that's what Shmuel means, that in Shomin Lanizah. Which means, in other words, in our case, for example, so the animal was worth 100 when he stole it. Now it's worth only 80. He wouldn't have the right to say, Harei Shalach Fanecha. We would say, you have to make sure that he has 100. And that would mean, in other words, either that you keep the animal with the mum and give him $100, or if the Nizik wants his animal back, obviously, then you could say you give him the animal and you give him an extra $20. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chiya ba'Aba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Dvar Torah, Min HaTorah, the rule would be Gzela HaNishtanis, when you have a Gzela, even though it was changed, nevertheless, it would still have to be returned as is. Because the pasuk says he should return the stolen object that he stole, and the word asher gozal means mikol mokem, meaning regardless, even though it's been changed, minatoda he would have to return. So the Priya Ba'aba says, what about our Mishnah, where we said hagozal etzim v'ason kalim, that he keeps the kalim and he pays back only the value? That would be Mishum Takonas Ashovim. That would only be Midir Abbanon because of Takonas Ashovim, because we want to make it easier for people to do tshuva. If we tell them you always have to return the thing itself, then he might not bother, as the Gemara is going to give an example soon, and he might say, I can't be bothered, and therefore he's not going to end up doing tshuva at all.
That's the one with the beam.
We'll talk about the beam later on. Yes, we'll mention that point. So the question is, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that a shinui is not koinim in HaTorah? While Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is always like a stam mishnah. Utnan, yet we learn in connection with Reishis HaGeiz that we talked about earlier, that we talked about in yesterday's Gemara, where they have the mitzvah to give the first of the wool shearings to the koyin. But again, we said it has to be in its original state. It can't be, if there was a shinui to it, then you're not chayiv to give that for Reishis HaGeiz anymore. And the Mishnah says over there, Loi hispik litne lai abshet savoy, if he didn't have a chance to give it to the Kohen before he dyed it, potter, then he's potter. And we said there's two possibilities. Either potter would be if he doesn't have, besides that, enough wool to be chayiv and Reishis HaGeiz altogether, then he's potter completely. And if he has other wool, then it means only he'd have to give from that other wool, not from this wool that he already dyed. So we see, in other words, that Reishis HaGeiz, we're talking about a din daraisa, we're talking about the mitzvah of Reishis HaGeiz as daraisa. So we see that even daraisa, a shinui, even daraisa, an irrevocable shinui, is koine for him. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say differently? So the answer is, Amalahu Ahumid Rabbanan, but Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, one of the Chachamim named Rabbi Yaakov, answered them, Lididimi Farshle, Mineidir Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan personally explained to me, what does he mean when he says Shinui is not Koinim, but Daraisa, Kugunshu Gozal Eitzim Mishrupan, Vasan Kalim. We're talking about the case, as we learned in the Gemara yesterday, where he stole boards that were already smoothed and planed, and turn them into kalim. He turned them into chairs or boxes or what have you. Where there you're talking about a revocable shinui, because it's possible to take the box apart and you have the same boards that you started out with to begin with. So that would be a shinui achoiz l'briyasa. That kind of thing, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, is not koinim b'daraisa. A shinui she'enei achoiz l'briyasa, Rabbi Yochanan would agree on the basis of the Mishnah in Cholin, is is Kona Doraisa. So that would explain why over there he dyed the wool and it's considered now to be his and he doesn't have to give it to the Kohen because that's a Shinu Sheini Chozer Libriyase. At this point, the Gemara is not making the distinction between different kinds of dyes, like we said before, which ones can or can't be removed with detergent. So that's what we're saying. So Rabbi Yechon is saying, on a Doraisa level, we would say that only if it's a Shinu Achozer Libriyase is Kona. But the Rabbanon was saying, even if it's a Shinu She'enei Chozer Libriyase, nevertheless, we would still allow the Gazlan to keep the object because of Takana Sashab.
In this case, we just work out with making smooth
so here we're talking about he started with smooth boards and made them into Kalin. So they're already smooth, and when he takes apart the keli, they go back to being boards like they were before. So that's a shinu achozer lebriyase. That, if he cut them, that would be different. We're talking about if he didn't cut them yet. Tosfos points out, by the way, there are other mishnayos later on in our perek that also imply that is koina. So why didn't the Gemara ask from those? Because you could say maybe to have a stamba achakach machloikas. You have a machloikas on that point between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda later on in the parak. So therefore, that wouldn't necessarily prove from those mishnayos that the halacha is like halacha kastam mishnah. But when we have a masechta, a mishnah in Chulin, nowhere near our mishnayos, and we see that, then the Gemara asked from them. Okay. Next, Tana Rabbanon. Let's talk more about this Takanas HaShavim business. We learn in a Braisa, HaGazlonin Umalvi Beribis, people who steal and people who rob and people who lend at Ribis, Shech Ziru, and now they want to return what they and now they want to return what they took illegally, Shech Ziru. If they return it, Ein Makablan Mehen, we should not accept back from them what they're returning. And anybody who does take it back from them, now usually usually means the chachamim are not pleased with such a person. Here actually it actually has an unusual explanation. It means the person himself does not have a ruach chachma b'chassidus. If he had a spirit of chachma and chassidus, he wouldn't accept back what they're offering, because then it makes it harder for them to do tshuva, because then they're going to lose all their money. So the better thing is not to accept it from them. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'mei Rebbe nishnis mishnah zu. Rabbi Yochanan says this mishnah, meaning braisa, was taught in the times of Rebbe. What happened? Tanya, Maisa ba'adam echad shebikash lasas tshuva. There was a man who had stolen and wanted to do tshuva. Omr lo ishta, his wife says to him, so he'd stolen, he wanted to return it. Omr lo ishta, his wife says to him, Reka, you empty person, don't you realize what you're doing? Imata oisa tshuva, if you're going to end up tshuva and returning everything you stole, afilo avnet enishocha, even the belt you're wearing is not going to be yours. Marshall points out also a belt in those times was often used to keep money. So when she uses the word reka, she means like a double entendre in it. She means you're not going to be able to keep the money that's in the belt, and even the belt that said the belt is going to be empty, and even the belt itself you're going to have to return. V'nimna v'loy osa tshuva, and the result was he held back and he didn't end up doing tshuva. But oisa shah amru, at that point the chacham said, we should not accept. They're offering the money, but we should not accept it back from them so that they don't hold back from doing tshuva. And if a person does accept it from them, then again, as Rashi had said, he doesn't have a spirit of chochma or chassidus, because he shouldn't accept it from them. He should tell them, thank you very much, I appreciate what you're doing, I see you want to do tshuva, however, you keep it because I want to make it easier for you to do tshuva. That's the thing. You have a mitzvah of a heshivas akzela, but what we're saying is, the braisa is saying over here that when the ganav comes to return the thing, we should tell him, thank you very much. However, I don't want you to return it. I'm moichel it to you in order that it should be easier for you to finish doing tshuva and never steal again. I'm moichel it to you, in other words.
Yeah. Does get into his ribis?
No, so we're talking about, in other words, that previously he had paid ribis and now he wants to return it. So you tell him, I'm moichel it to you and you keep it. So you have a Rishonim that talk about the Rambam hold. The Rambam seems to say that, in other words, the Chachamim are requiring the Nigzal to say, I'm Moichel to you. The Smag and other Rishonim learn that you don't necessarily need to say, I'm Moichel. It's in effect, the Chachamim are saying, you don't have a right to take it back. If you want to go to Beis Din and you're going to force the guy to get it, then look, Beis Din can't prevent you from doing it, but in Ruach Chachamim Neuchahemen. Tosfos discusses over here. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam. The fact is, we find in many cases in the Gemara where somebody stole something and we do make him return it. How does that fit with what we're saying over here? So Tosfos learns, so Rabbeinu Tam learns that this was a one-time takana. In Rebbe's times, when we say, Rabbeinu Tam learns, when we say, B'mei Rebbe, Nishnas, Mishnas, U, and we have other examples in Shas where we have that expression, it means the Braisa, the Gemara is not just telling us a historical fact when this takana was made, it's also telling us when does the takana apply, only in that time because of the situation that happened at that time. At other times, that wouldn't necessarily apply. So therefore, the Gemara is only, Rabbeinu Tam continues, the Gemara is going to ask from a Braisa that Rabbi Chiya teaches, because Rabbi Chiya was a Talmud of Rebbe. But the Gemara is not going to ask from other Mishnayos and Braisas, where we see that a person does return something he stole, because we could say those are in other times, those are before or after Rebbe's times. That's according to Rabbeinu Tam. Then on the other hand, the Re in Tosfos gives a different answer. He says that no, what we're talking about over here is a person who most of his income has been coming from Gzela, or most of his income has been coming from Ribis. So now, if you make him return everything, then he's going to have nothing left, and therefore he's going to hold back, and he's not going to want to do tshuva. When you have a person who occasionally stole, or occasionally a one-time thing, stole, or one-time lent at Ribis, then yes, we are going to require him to return it. So that's another way of understanding what the Gemara is saying over here. Okay. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, suppose that there are children who yarshin from their father, and their father left them money that he had earned from Ribis, even if they know that that money is Ribis, still they're not required to return it, implying, they're not required to return it because they're not the ones who took the Ribis. Implying that their father would have to return it. So then in that case, again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the question is, this Braisa was taught by Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya is a Talmud of Rebbe, and he should be following the takana that Rebbe made for his times. And according to the Re, the point is, we're talking about over here, that he did it regularly. He did it throughout his life. He was lending at Ribis, and the implication is he has to return it. Tosfos, by the way, points out that we can't necessarily say that it means that that when they're doing tshuva, then they should be when they're doing tshuva, we should tell them that we don't want to accept it from them. We should tell them I don't want to accept it. I want to make it easier for you. So the Rosh and a couple of other Rishonim explain that when they want to do tshuva and return it themselves, then we're telling them when they voluntarily come to return it, then we tell them no, don't. But if they don't return it themselves, then Beis Din will force them to return it. However, Tosfos disagrees with that and says the fact is then they can always game the system, they can play a trick, they can always pretend they're doing tshuva, and then we're going to say, well, then we won't accept it from you, and then they get to keep it. So therefore, Tosfos prefers there are other two explanations, either that this was a one-time takana in Rebbe's times, or that we're talking about somebody who habitually steals or whatever. Anyway, the point is, the Braisa seems to be implying that the father himself who took the Ribis would have to return it, not like we're saying. The answer is, b'dinhu dafilu daviyam nami ein chai b'hachzer. In fact, strictly speaking, the father wouldn't have to return either because of this takana. V'hodech atoni b'didhu, the reason why the Braisa focuses on the children, because of what it's going to say in the Sefer, which is something that applies specifically to the children, where it says, on the other hand, if the father didn't just leave them money, where money is fungible and you can't tell where any particular coin came from, if he left them behind a cow or a talus, which he had taken as ribis, or any definitive thing, anything which we can point to and say this was something that was taken as ribis, then they are, in fact, chayav to return it because of the covet of their father. So that part is only relevant as far as the children, which is why the first part of the Braisa also talked about the children, but not necessarily to say that the father himself would have to return it because of the takonis hashavim that we're saying over here. Tosfos points out that it's not even lotzis yidei shemayim. It's not even that you can say they're returning it only to be yotze what Hashem requires. But since it says the expression chayovin implies they're actually chayim to return it, not just lotzis yidei shemayim.
Right.
Well, that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying, that they have to return chayovin lahachsim of nekvoy aviyim. Not just that we say lots of yidei shemayim. They're actually chayev as a technical thing of halacha to return it because of the covenant of their father. Because of the covenant of their father, so that people don't continue to say, "Look at that part. It was stolen by their father. It was taken as ribis by their father." Well, the Gemara asks, in that case, why should they be required to return it because of the covenant of their father? Shouldn't we apply what the Pasuk says over here, where it says in this week's parasha, you're not allowed to curse a nosi among your people? And since it says among your people, it only means only when he's acting as a yid should. And from that, we learn similarly when it comes to Kibbud Av, that the dinim of Kibbud Av don't fully apply if the guy is not Oysa Maisa Amcha. So why should they be required, Mepnei Kvod Avihem, to return the object? Why? Their father was a Rosha. They shouldn't be Chayiv in that kind of coven. The answer is, Kid'omra Pinchas, B'sha Asa Tshuva, just like Rav Pinchas says in a different context in the Gemara and Chagiga that you're talking about, where it talks about over there about people, about tax collectors who went into a house and were concerned they may have touched things and made them tame, but if afterwards they do Tshuva and they want to return what they took illegally, then we can trust them to say what they touched and what they didn't touch. So similarly, Hochanami, B'sha Asa Tshuva, here also you're talking about where the father did Tshuva before he died. Well, the question is, Iosa Tshuva, my boy Gabe. Well, then what's the thing still doing by him? He should have returned the cow or the talus himself. Iboy Laladuri, he should have returned it. And the answer is, we're talking about he didn't have a chance to return it before he died. So he did Tshuva. He's already Oysa Maisa Amcha. But because he didn't have a chance to return it yet, therefore the children have to do it for him. It is true, the Gemara is assuming, if he remained a Rosha and he never did Tshuva, the children Taka would not necessarily be required to return that part or talus. Because the only reason for them to have to return is Mepnei Kvod Avihem, and the fact is their father doesn't deserve that kind of covet because he died as a Rosha. Are they saying Kaddish for him? That's another question. I mean, nowadays, we generally don't apply these dinim because we have the whole concept of Tinik Shenishba. Most people who didn't live a total lifestyle is because they're Tinik Shenishbu. But yeah. Okay. There are different Rishonim will talk about the details in this. Again, you know, you have different opinions in Tosfos when exactly this concept of not returning a Gzela applies. When do we say that we want to do Takanas Hashavim versus, on the other hand, you do have a mitzvah of a Heshavas Gzela? So in fact, we had two answers in Tosfos that we're talking about, that where he does it all the time, whereas most of his fortune comes from that. And where and Tosfos had also mentioned another answer that it's only in Rebbe's times. The Nimuka Yosef brings actually that it's only when you have that he wants voluntarily to do tshuva, and most of his money comes from these kinds of things. Then we tell him don't return it because we want him to be able to do tshuva. But if it was only one or the other, then we would make him return it. And then in fact, the Mishnah Lamelech explains that it means that if the first time he offers it, we don't take it from him. But if again he says please take it from me, then already we do, because then obviously it's not going to prevent him from doing tshuva. The fact that we're taking it from him because he himself is voluntarily offering to give it again. So you have different opinions about that. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Toshma, let's bring another proof from a Braisa. A Braisa says, Hagazlonim umalvi beribis, people who stole or people who lent at ribis, afapisha govu, even though they collected, machzirin, they still have to return. Now, the word govu usually means like tax collectors or something. So the Gemara asks, what's this expression? Maisha govu ika. E gozel gozel, the gozel like gozel. What do you mean? They either stole or they didn't. What do you mean? Govu would imply if they took it. If they didn't take it, they're not a gazlan. So never mind actually about tax collectors. The word govu implies they actually took the object. If they didn't take it. No. If they demanded it, the fact is they didn't take it yet. So what do we mean? Govu or loy govu as it relates to a gazlan. Ella, Ema, Hagazlonin. Rather, what the Braisa means is when we say gazlonin, umay nihu, malvi ribis. What kind of gazlan do we mean? Somebody who lends at ribis, which is also a form of gezel, afapisha govu, even though he already collected the ribis from the loiva, machzirin, nevertheless, he has to return it. So we see that we do take back the payment from a malvi beribis. It's not like we said before that Rebbe's takana was that you shouldn't. The answer is amri. The answer is fine. It says machzirin. They have to return it. The ein makabla nehem. However, we should not accept it from them when they offer it. Ela loma machzirin. Why are they offering it? Lotzis yidei shemayim. They still have to make the offer. Lotzis yidei shemayim to be exempted from punishment by Hashem. Once we see that they're sincerely wanting to return it, and then we tell them we don't, then we say we're not going to accept it, then fine, Hashem will have accepted their tshuva, but on the other hand, we want to make it easier for them to do that and to do tshuva. Okay. Tosfos actually compares this with a Gemara in Bava Metzia that talks about when you have the dinim, when we say what kind of ribis can be collected by dayanim, which kind not. You have a concept of it's ribis d'oraisa, then dayanim can collect it. And here we're saying that we don't collect it from them. So again, you have the various answers about the different possibilities in terms of what the circumstances are. Again, was this a takana for only one time in history, or was this or is this only somebody who habitually lends at ribis and they were talking about a one-time thing, etc. Okay, so the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof. How royim v'agaboyin v'hamolchsin shepherds, and at this point the Gemara is assuming that the problem with shepherds is, as we learned previously in the seventh parak, they often allow their animals to graze in other people's properties. V'agaboyin and tax collectors, where often the Gemara assumes that they collect more than they're supposed to. The way that taxes worked in those days, it wasn't like nowadays where every person files their own income taxes and whatever. The way it worked is the government would decide, the king would decide that this area needs, I want $1 million from this area in taxes. And then he would leave it up to the tax collectors to go and collect it. And they would often collect a lot more than $1 million and they'd keep the rest for themselves. So therefore, the Gemara usually assumes that that tax collectors are gazlonim. And so actually mochsin are tax collectors. Gaboyim says they're collecting other kinds of taxes, head taxes and other, and property taxes and whatever. Mochsin would be then the ones who are collecting like tolls and whatever. All of them, chuvos and kosher, all of them, it's very difficult for them to do chuvah because they don't know exactly who they took from. Or machzirin, lamakirin, they have to return the money. Anybody that they recognize in particular, we took money illegally from him, they have to return it. So we're saying they have to return it. So the answer again, Ami Machzirin Ven Makablin Mehen. Again, we could say it means they have to offer it back to those people. We don't actually accept it from them because of the Takonis Hashavim, but V'Ela Lama Machzirin, Lotzis Yidei Shemayim, then in that case, then it's only Lotzis Yidei Shemayim. Well, the Gemara says, can't be. Hochi, Amai Chuvos and Kosher. Then why is it so hard for them to do Chuvah? In that case, they're not actually returning the money to anybody because the people, they don't know who they stole from. They're not offering it to anyway. The ones that they did were saying they're not going to accept it from them. So it's very easy for them to do Chuvah. What's the problem? But oi, Ema Sefer. And not only that, the Braisa continues. V'she'in Makirin. What about the people where they don't know for sure whether they took from them? What do they do with the rest of that money? Yasa behen Sochei Tzibur. They should use that money for public needs. They should use that money, for example, to go towards digging water pits and things like that, where everybody will benefit from that. And eventually we can expect that the Nigzolim will benefit from it as well. So it's not a direct chova, but it's more of an indirect kind of thing. The point is, we do take the money away from them and we make them use it on something. So Ela Loikasha Kan Kodim Takona, Kan Lacha Takona. We can say very simple. One Braisa is talking about the Braisa about the shepherds and the tax collectors and whatnot is before the Takona. It's true, then you would take the money from them, from anybody who they know for sure they took from, they would have to return it to, and anybody not, they would have to use it on Sochet Zibur. So it becomes very difficult for them to do Chuba because it means they're going to be giving away a large part of their money. And even then, it means the ones that they don't know, they're not able to pay back directly. Where's the other one? Would be after the takana, then it becomes much easier. Because then we're not taking the money from them. However, the Gemara says, "V'hashda the Amar of Nachman v'she'en gzeila kayemes." However, now you should know that Rab Nachman said that this that we say we don't take it from them is only when the original gzeila itself does not exist. In other words, like in the example we had before of the children with the ribis, we said before there was a difference between whether it was money or whether it was an actual or whether it was the actual cow or something like that. So now Rab Nachman is saying you have a similar distinction over here. Only when the gzeila is not kayemes, only then do we say that we make the takana not to take the money from them, but when the gzela itself exists as is, then they have to return it. So then we can say, both braises can be talking about after the takana of Rebbe. Because you can distinguish between whether the gzela still exists or not. Now, the question is, Tosfos asks, if we're saying, so by the Royin, by the shepherds, what kind of Gzela Kayemis? The whole point is, they're grazing in other people's fields. That's not a Gzela Kayemis. They already ate the grass over there or whatever. So Tosfos says, first of all, the Royin could mean over here, not that the problem is that they allow their animals to graze in other people's fields, but rather that the Royin themselves, sometimes they're pasturing other people's animals and they steal the animals themselves. They take the milk, they take the wool and keep it for themselves. So then we can talk about that the milk or the wool still exists. Also, Tosfos says, in fact, Tosfos says it's not because they're grazing in other people's fields, because if the animals don't belong to them, why would they do that? Why would they do such a thing where it's not even benefiting them? The Rashba explains also that it could be talking about you could even be talking about it's his own animals. What we're talking about, let's say he stole a bundle of hay to feed the animal, and the bundle of hay still exists. So he wants to now do tshuva before the animal actually ate it. And then he brings from the Raiva that it can also be oy hay and oy chalifeh. You can have, for example, let's say a bundle of hay, even if the animal already ate it. Fine, it's easy enough to pay with another bundle of hay. One bundle is very much like another, so that would still be considered zela kayemis. So the Gemara asks, "Well, abnet zela kayemisi? What about the whole thing we said? The whole story that triggered this whole takana was the story where the guy wants to do tshuva and his wife says even your belt won't belong to you. The belt is zela kayemis because apparently the assumption is that he'd stolen the actual belt itself. And yet the Chachamim included that in the Takonas HaShavim and said he doesn't have to give back the belt because otherwise he won't do tshuva. So how can we say there's a distinction between kayemis or ena kayemis?" So the Gemara answer is no. My avnet dmei avnet. The answer is when she doesn't mean he'd have to return the actual belt. She means he'd have to return the value of the belt, and that would be very hard for him. So therefore, he didn't end up doing tshuva, and therefore the Chum said you shouldn't have to do that. Had it been the actual belt itself that he stole, yes, we would make him return that. Says the Gemara is saying now. But the Gemara continues. So you're telling me whenever the gzela still exists, the chachamim are not making the takana, and you make him return the actual object. What about the case where a person steals a beam, like you said before, and he builds it into a building? Yet we learn in the Mishnah in Gittin, that if a person stole a morish, a beam, and built it into a building, the Chachamim made a takana sheyitol dom of netakana sashavim, that he should get the money for it rather than taking the actual beam itself because of takana sashavim. So you see that even when the gzela is kayemes, he still doesn't have to return it. The answer is shiny hosim to kibin de ikup say to the bira. The difference is he'd have to tear down the whole building. So therefore, that's considered ena kayemis shavur abanan kibalasa. So the chacham treat that beam as though it no longer exists. But it's true in other cases where that wouldn't be an issue. Then yes, they would make him return the actual object itself. We find, by the way, it says by the people of Nineveh when it says that the king announces after Yonah comes to them that everybody should do tshuva in a chomas asheva kapeim. The Gemara mentions in Tainis that means even something like that they went to the extreme that even they had built a morish into their building they would tear down the building to return the actual morish. They wanted to go the extra mile so that the Eivishta has no nishtok and faribel, so the Eivishta has no objection to them and then won't punish them. But ordinarily the Chacham are saying that we make a takana and we don't require him to return that.